You love being at Koinonia and enjoying the variety of life that we have here, and it's just wonderful, wonderful. Good morning. Hey, this morning I'm excited because we're at the end of 40 days, and as a church we have been standing for 40 days in prayer and fasting, and I know many of you here this morning made a decision that during those 40 days you would give up a meal, you would give up several meals. Some of you I know did Daniel fast. For periods of time, some of you do for a week or 2 weeks or the whole period. But many of you here this morning have been standing your ground for the last 40 days. And it is very, very significant, I believe, that we are here this morning together at the conclusion of this 40-day period. We started September 24th, and today is that last day. And whenever you see in Scripture the number 40, it is a very significant time period. Repeatedly, time after time, you see 40 days, 40 years, that the number 40 indicates a time of spiritual breakthrough. If you look at the Old Testament, Noah and the destruction, the rain fell for 40 days and 40 nights. We know that David and Goliath came out for 40 days and yelled and hurled insults at the Israelites. And it was on the 40th day that David defeated him and cast that stone and cut off his head. Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days and was tempted by the enemy. And on the 40th day, the enemy left him. 40 days is really significant. And I believe that this morning is a significant day for us. We've been standing for breakthrough. We've been waiting and asking God for breakthrough. Breakthrough for our lives personally, breakthrough for our nation, breakthrough for our families. And I believe that at the end of 40 days, God is saying, you have stood and now the enemy must flee. You have stood and now the enemy is going to go. And if you're here visiting this morning and this is the first you've heard of this, let me just say it is a good day for you to be here because you are in a house where we have been standing our ground for 40 days. I think it's wonderful that when the church gets together, there is power. There is power. Now, some of us have done fasting and prayer for 40 days very diligently, and some of us maybe not so great. I know that I didn't do so great all the time. Anybody else didn't do so great during the whole 40 days? All right, the rest of you, lion suckers, right? But the great news is that this was a corporate thing, that as a body we came together to stand for 40 days. And when you get the church together, even if the church has little faith, great things happen. Because little faith becomes great faith when the church joins together. If you in the New Testament, the book of Acts, you remember the story when Peter is thrown in prison and the church gets together and they start to pray. And they pray and pray and pray. And they ask for his release. And Peter miraculously is visited by an angel. And he gets out of prison and he goes to the door and he knocks on the door outside where the church is praying. And the servant girl, Rhoda, hears his voice outside and recognizes, oh, it's Peter. And she forgets in her excitement to open the door and let him in. Instead, she runs back to the rest of the people that are praying, and she goes, Peter, it's a miracle. Peter's here. He's at the door. And they go, you're crazy. You're crazy. Now, there's a church with great faith, right? They're there praying together. They're there believing. They're there asking for God. They're waiting for him to break through, to break Peter out of prison. And he comes to the door, and Rhoda says, he's at the door. And they say, what? No way. But even if you don't have great faith this morning, I got good news for you. Great little faith combined with the church equals great faith. Now, we're here together this morning. I don't know how much faith you've got. You might have little faith. I know many times I don't have great faith. But I know that when I combine my little faith with your little faith, and we get together and we say, God, now come and combine with our faith. Do something in the midst of us. Break through our circumstances. Break through our fear. Break through our worry. Break through, Lord, the challenges of life. Then that becomes great faith, and a great God then intervenes on our behalf. So I'm excited this morning. I hope you're excited because I believe that he wants to do something special for us. Now, I'm going to launch with a verse, and if you have your outline, it's at the top of your outline, but I'd like just to read it together. We're going to talk about breaking through routine this morning, breaking through routine. And I believe as we learn to break through routine, God is going to do something fresh and new inside of us. So if you don't have your outline, you can look on the screen because I do want us to read this together. It says this in John chapter 3, verse 8. The wind blows, read with me, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now, Jesus is saying this to Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a man, he's an older gentleman that is well esteemed. It says he's a ruler among the people. He's a very religious man. He's very well respected. And Nicodemus comes to talk to Jesus and to talk to Jesus, and he says to Jesus, I know that you come from God. I know that you know what you're talking about. Teach me, what is this thing that you keep talking about being born again, being born of the Spirit. And Jesus goes on to begin to explain to Nicodemus what it means to be born of the Spirit. And one of the first things that he says here is that the people that are born of the Spirit are like the wind, Then where the wind blows, we're not always sure about. We don't know when the wind's going to blow all the time. We don't know how hard it's going to blow. We don't know exactly where it comes from, and we're not sure where it's going to go. But it says, you and I, people that are born of the Spirit, are like the wind. Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't make me very comfortable, right? Because when I think about the wind, and my life is supposed to be like the wind, I think that, you know, the wind is oftentimes not very reliable. The wind is oftentimes unpredictable, and you don't exactly know where the wind is going to blow. Now, the wind is a wonderful thing. Sometimes we need the wind. In the last couple of days in the valley, we have enjoyed the wind coming through and blowing out all the nasty stuff and the rain coming down and some fresh air coming into our valley. It's a wonderful thing when the freshness of the Spirit blows in, but it's also a little unpredictable. And one of the things that Pastor Tim has said about our church at Koinonia is that as a church, we are seeking to be a church that puts up its sails into the wind and is blown by the wind. He's made the statement that as a church, we are not a boat with a motor, that we are driving where we want to go. Instead, we are a boat just with a set of sails, relying on the Holy Spirit to blow us, to drive us, to propel us where He would go. Now, that is the way that we are supposed to live our lives. People that are filled with the Spirit of God, they are blown by the Spirit. We are supposed to be windsurfers today. Jesus says, hey, you're going to be a windsurfer if you want to follow the Spirit. Because a windsurfer relies on the wind. If the wind ain't blowing, ain't no surfing going. And so today, what we need to be is we need to be windsurfers that would seek to put our sails up in the wind, catch what He's doing, and be blown in the direction that He goes. The Celts, I mentioned this 2 weeks ago, had a name for the Holy Spirit. They called Him the wild goose. The wild goose. They called Him the wild goose because when you're chasing the Holy Spirit, it's a lot like a wild goose chase. You don't really know where you're headed, but it's always an adventure. It's always an adventure. And you and I, as people born of the Spirit of God, seeking to follow the Holy Spirit, seeking to live the life of Christ, have got to be willing to go wherever He blows, to go wherever He wants us to go. Lord, what are you breathing today? Which direction are you going in? And so many times what happens is that we get stuck in a routine. We get stuck in a system. We get stuck with a set of expectations where we figure that we already know what the Holy Spirit wants us to do and where He wants us to go. We figure, see, the problem is that we like predictability. Don't you like predictability? I like predictability. I like to be able to go to McDonald's and get a predictable Big Mac. Now, it may be a lousy predictable Big Mac, but it's predictably lousy, right? It's consistent. It's dependable. I know it's going to take 3 minutes or 2 minutes or whatever it is. They have it down to the second. I know it's going to be the same whether I eat it here in Hanford or whether I fly over to Atlanta or almost anywhere else in the world. It's going to be the same. It's predictable. And we don't go to McDonald's. McDonald's is so successful, and not because it has the best hamburger in town, but because it is the most predictable hamburger in town. And so I go, and my kids are crying, and they want their Happy Meal, and I know whatever McDonald's I go to, I'm going to be able to get that Happy Meal. It's going to be just exactly what I expect out of it. I like predictability. I know you like predictability, too. It allows us to plan our lives. It allows us to figure out what the day is going to look like. The problem is that predictability does not sound like the wind of the Spirit. It's not. The problem is that what we get into is a routine, And we expect God to act the same way that he acted yesterday. We expect God, the things that he does, to look just exactly like the way the things that he did yesterday. When we start to talk about what he did yesterday and we figure out, oh, man, well, maybe we can figure it out. God moved yesterday. Maybe if we do the same stuff we did yesterday, he'll move again. See, that happens to churches a lot. Boy, if Sandy leads a song and it's a great song, it's touched and it's an anointed song, all of a sudden we think, boy, we better sing that again next Sunday. Right? Because God moved today, maybe he'll move next Sunday. I got it figured out. We sing three songs, right? We say a little prayer, we preach a sermon, and God moves. It's a formula, and we figure it out. The problem is it doesn't work that way. Right? I'd like it to work that way. I would love to know the formula that whenever I open up my Bible that God would speak to me right at that moment. I wish I knew the prayer to pray, Lord, if you speak to me today, please. You know, whatever those, if I knew the magic words, it would be wonderful. But that is not what the Spirit wants. That is not the way the Spirit operates. He says, you got to raise your sails. He says, you got to expect that I'm going to blow maybe in a different way today. He says, I'm not always predictable. Now, it's not that we can't know certain things about him. Because we definitely can. We know that if we worship God and we come together and we worship Jesus and exalt his name, we know the wind is going to blow. Just like we know there are certain patterns to the natural wind that we have in this country, in this world. We know that, like T. Boone Pickens, back down in Texas somewhere, there's a place where the wind blows pretty consistently, and he can put his windmills up there and generate electricity, and that is pretty reliable. And so it's not that there's no patterns. It's just that we don't know exactly what it's going to look like all the time. And so we've got to be prepared to raise ourselves. Now, because we like routine, and routine is contradictory to the life of the Spirit, we have got to get out of our routine. We have got to break through the rut that is routine. Now, we all know what a rut is. A rut is simply a grave with the ends kicked out of it. You guys have heard that before. And we all tend to get in ruts in our lives where we figure we know the way God is supposed to act. We figure we know what we're supposed to do, and we put our head down. This is what I do. I get under stress, I get under life, I get busy, and I just put my head down and I just begin to push through. And I just say, you know, I've done this before. I can handle this. If I just grit my teeth and if I just clench my hands together and if I just put one foot in front of the other and I just live life, I can get through this. What happens is that I forget that God wants me to go like this. He wants me to look up and put my arms up, and he wants to blow into my sails, and he wants to be the one that's directing me where I want to go. When I do this, I get under my own strength and my own power. When I grit my teeth and I say, I can do it, what I end up is relying on myself instead of relying on the wind of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know the wind of the Holy Spirit is much better. I know the life of Christ is much better, but oftentimes I forget because I like routine. I talked to anybody this morning? We like routine. Let me just give you a couple points, a couple ways that we can get out of routine, ways that we can break free from routine. Before I do that, let me read you a verse out of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 43. Verse 18 and 19 says this, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, that's the routine. That's the stuff that we institutionalize. That's the stuff that we rely on, we get in the past. You ever know anybody that just keeps remembering the past? The thing that God did 20 years ago in their lives, you start talking about spiritual stuff with them and they just repeat that same story one time when the Holy Spirit fell and something great happened. That's the past. And this verse says, forget the former things. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Now let me just tell you this morning, God wants to do a new thing. God wants to do a new thing in your life. God wants to break you out of your old patterns. God wants to break you out of your old sin systems, the stuff that you've been dealing with over and over again and never been able to break free from. God wants to break you out of your thought patterns, the stinking thinking that's got you down and that every morning you wake up and you deal with the same thoughts that are depressive or that are suicidal or that are angry or that are bitter or whatever. He wants to do something new in you this morning. And he is here this morning at the conclusion of 40 days and he is ready to say, now my people have resisted and the enemy is going to flee. What will they grab a hold of? What will you grab a hold of this morning? What are you ready to believe God for this morning? Because he's saying, I'm ready to do a new thing. I'm ready to make you a new creature. I'm ready to give you new territory. I'm ready to break you into a new area of your life. The question is, will we believe or will we miss it? See, it says, now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? It says, see, I'm going to do a new thing. Why does he say see? Because oftentimes we miss it. We miss it. Because we figure it's going to look like the way it looked yesterday, because we figured that it's we just already know, and we become blind inadvertently to the life of Jesus and what he wants to do. And so he says, hey, be careful, look out, see, I'm about to do a new thing. And if you don't pay attention, it'll walk right by you and you'll never will see it. So I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know if it's your first time or if it's your 3,000th time. See this morning. Open your eyes today. Behold, the Lord says, I'm going to do a new thing. Will you not perceive it? Will you not be ready for it? Will you not believe me for it this morning? Because he's here. Will you not raise your sails today? All right, let me give you three ways that we can break out of a rut. Three ways we can break out of a rut, and it's in your outline if you want to follow along in your notes. The first one is we need to build an altar. We need to build an altar. Now, throughout the Old Testament, we see the Israelites building altars all the time. Whenever God did something, they would build an altar. And time and again, when after the flood, when Noah got out of the boat, he built an altar and he sacrificed to God. Abraham, when he was moving through the territory, when God appeared to him, he built an altar. And see, whenever God would do something, they would build an altar. Now, I think it's curious that an altar is nothing more than a bunch of stones put together in a certain way and prepared for a divine purpose. And see, building an altar in terms of that practice was basically taking normal, natural stuff and arranging it, stacking it up, and then sanctifying it, preparing it, and saying, now this is the place where we're going to offer worship to God. And we, you and I, the way that we break out of rut is we have to begin to build altars in our life. We have to build altars where we worship God. We have to build altars where we are reminded of what he has done. See, altars are places of worship and they're places of remembrance. There's a verse that says Abraham was going through the country and he passes by an altar that he had built in the past. And he stops and he worships and he worships. See, and you and I oftentimes with routines, we forget to build altars. We forget to take a moment and make the natural everyday stuff of life and turn it into something sacred. We forget to take the stones of life that just seem like routine, everyday, ordinary stuff and stack them up in such a way where they become a place of worship. And instead, we just go on our merry way. And what we must do is we must take those everyday parts of life, those routines that we do, and we've got to convert them into sacred moments of worship to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so whether we're driving our car on the way to work, whether we are at home in front of the washing machine sorting clothes, whether we're at work working on whatever it is what we do, we can take that moment and make an altar of worship before God. How do we do that? We just take those things and we say, now, Lord, I do this as unto you. And Father, I worship you in this moment. I remember, God, what you have done in my life. And I just take a moment to set my focus on you. Even while I'm doing this normal, ordinary task, I'm going to build an altar of praise and of worship. And we just begin to do that. And we build an altar. When God does something special and you build an altar, then you're reminded of that as you go on. And as you are reminded, then you lift up worship to him. So we've got to build altars. You want to break out of routine? Build an altar of worship to God. Take what you do in the everyday and make it into a place of worship. Don't forget. So many times we forget what God has done because he does something and then we move on and we never think about it again. And what we've got to do is somehow build an altar that will remind us. After the last service, my wife told me that a lady came up to her and said, because we bought a house last year, and it's a house that's been in the community for a long time. It's built in 1940. And this woman came up, as many people have, because the house has been around for so long, and she came up to my wife and she said, you know, your house is an altar for me, because that is the place where I received Christ and was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she said, when I pass by that house, I remember. See, that's an altar. That's an altar. And what we have to do is we have to set up stones, altar stones, where we go by them and we go, oh, I remember God. I remember what you did. And I worship you for that. So we have to build altars if we're going to break out of routine. The second thing we have to do is that we have to, where's my notes here, change our perspective. We have to change our perspective. Watch this video.
Why do I stand up here? Anybody?
Feel taller.
No. Thank you for playing, Mr. Dalton. I stand upon my desk to remind myself that we must constantly look at things in a different way. See, the world looks very different from up here. You don't believe me? Come see for yourselves. Come on. Come on. Just when you think you know something, you have to look at it in another way. Even though it may seem silly or wrong, you must try. Now, when you read, don't just consider what the author thinks. Consider what you think. Boys, you must strive to find your own voice. Because the longer you wait to begin, the less likely you are to find it at all. Thoreau said most men lead lives of quiet desperation. Don't be resigned to that. Break out. Now, don't just walk off the edge like lemmings. Look around you. There you go, Mr. Christie. Thank you. Yes. Dare to strike out and find new ground. Now, in addition to your essays, I would like you to compose a poem of your own, an original work.
Second thing we need to do if we want to break out of a routine, break out of our rut, is we have to change our perspective. We have to do something where we change the way that we look at things. And we get stuck in a certain perspective, and we expect things to be a certain way, and then we see them in that way. There's a little formula in your outline that says change of place plus change of pace equals change of perspective. And that's so true. A perspective, when we are stuck in a certain perspective, we cannot get beyond that. In the Old Testament, there's a story of the prophet Elijah. And Elijah is the one up on Mount Baal with the prophets. And there was a showdown, a great showdown between the prophets of Baal and God. And the prophets of Baal sacrificed and cut themselves and did all their stuff. And they were asking their god, Baal, to do something. And he didn't do anything. And Elijah is the prophet of God, the one and only prophet of God at that time. And he just laughed at them and made insults and waited for them to finish cutting themselves and yelling at their god and all this stuff. And then he walks up and he prays to God. And the fire of heaven comes down and consumes the offering on the altar. Now, talk about a massive, incredible move of God. And it was from that moment of great victory that Elijah then got a word from a wicked queen, and he went running in fear. He went off, he had a great victory, saw God move in powerful ways, and then all of a sudden he goes, oh, and this woman's going to come after me. And he runs in fear, and he's tired, and he's alone, and he goes out into the desert. And it just seems like there is no way to win this thing. He just begins to throw a pity party for himself. And it talks about how he just begins to moan and groan. And there's no one else in Israel that worships God. There's no one else. And all of a sudden, God appears to him. And he says, you know what? You don't have a clue, buddy. Your perspective's bad. You ain't the only one. There are many others that I have. And sometimes our perspective is lousy. More often than not, it's lousy. And when we get stuck in a certain perspective, what we've got to do is break out of that perspective, because we cannot see what God wants us to see if we refuse to give up the perspective that we have. One of the great ways to change perspective is to, like it says, change of place plus change of pace. Sometimes you just have to get out of where you're normally in. Change of pace could be just a change of your physical location. That's one of the reasons why retreats, spiritual retreats, are so effective and so wonderful. Just a quick commercial. Men, hey, our men's retreat's coming up in just 2 weeks, November 12th, 13th, 14th. The registration deadline has been extended. It's a great way to change your perspective. Because why? All of a sudden you get out of your normal routine, you go out to somewhere else, you go up on the top of the mountain, and you slow down in your life, and all of a sudden God starts talking to you. It's not as if he wasn't talking to you before. It's just that you were in your rut. It's just that you're in your routine. And the life of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is saying, I want to do something new. You just can't see it because you got your head down and your eyes closed. Because you're pushing forward and you're expecting it to be a certain way, or you're doing it out of your own strength. You need to change your perspective. Now, some of us just need to change our perspective, guys. Let me just pick on you for a moment. If you're religious, if you've been here for a while, we got religious people in this church. I mean, you know, it's just the truth of the matter. But, you know, sometimes we like to change things. At Koinonia, we like to do things different. Now, some of you don't like it when we say raise your hands, right? Some of you don't like it if Pastor Tim says kneel on the ground. Some of you don't like it if we take the cross and we move it backstage one Sunday. Am I talking to anybody? Right? Because I get these little messages from people. Where's the cross? Why isn't the cross on the stage? Because we moved to backstage. As if, you know, somehow God's not going to move that day if the cross is not there. The wind is not going to blow if the cross is not on the stage. Right? And sometimes we get into the routine. It's got to be a certain way. We've reduced it to a formula. And some of us, we just need to switch it up. In our spiritual lives, we need to switch things up. If you like to shout during worship, try being quiet. If you've never shouted, try shouting. If you've never lifted your hands, lift your hands. If you always lift your hands, try putting your hands down for a little while. I mean, just do something different. Shake it up a little bit. Mix it up. Mix up the routine. I mean, just practically, we know in the physical, if you want to lose some weight and you want to exercise and get into a routine, you have got to do something different. And all of the exercise people will tell you that if you do the same routine over and over and over and over again and you never mix it up, it will stop its effectiveness. And so you have got to switch things up. That's just a truth of life. It's a fact of life. And we have got to switch things up. Listen, I don't know what routine you're in. I don't know what sin you've been dealing with. I don't know what thing that is in your life that you have been battling for breakthrough for, what perspective you are stuck in. Switch it up. Mix it up. Do something different. Say, God, I believe that your wind is going to blow, and so I'm just by faith going to get myself in a different place. I'm going to begin to do something different. I'm going to mix up my routine. If I haven't life journaled, I'm going to start life journaling. If I've life journaled the same way for these last 8-10 months, I'm going to try life journaling a little bit different this morning. I'm going to open up, you know, a different cover somehow. I'm going to open and read my Bible upside down. I don't know. You know, do something different. And expect that that will help you change your perspective, and then the Holy Spirit can breathe on that. The Holy Spirit can breathe on that because he's a God of the new. He's a God of the new. So don't allow yourself to get stuck in a perspective. Don't believe that the stuff that you've been dealing with and the rut that you're in, you're going to be stuck in forever because God wants to do something different. Windsurfing doesn't work very well if you're stuck in a rut. It's hard to get out. We just need to switch our routine up. I mean, try memorizing some verses. Try reading the Bible regularly. Try doing something. Set some goals that you can attain, but do something that will switch up your perspective. The third thing I want to talk about, and we'll just end with this one, is the third way to break out of your routine, the third way to break out of a rut, is to throw down your staff, to throw down your staff. Now, in the story of Moses, there is a time when Moses is talking with God, and God says to Moses, throw down your staff. Because I'm going to take that staff and I'm going to convert it into something that would be a symbol of the miraculous power of my miraculous power, and I'm going to represent to the Pharaoh that I am with you. And so he throws down his staff and it turns into a snake. And Moses, whoa! And then God says, now pick him up, pick it up, and it turns back into his staff. Now God tells Moses, throw down your staff. The staff, I think, for Moses represents his identity and his security. Because if you're a shepherd in Israel and in Egypt or wherever you're at, and Moses was on the backside of Egypt for 40 years, and he was a shepherd, and this a shepherd. It's also the main tool that you have, the main tool that you use every day as you're doing your shepherding. If there's snakes, you can use it to kill a snake. You can use it to direct the herd. You can use it against wild beasts that might attack your sheep and your goats. And it is a tool that is so useful, but it represents who Moses is. It represents his identity, and it represents his security. And God says, now throw it down, and I'm going to do something new with it. Throw it down on the ground, and I'm going to take it, I'm going to convert it into something that you wouldn't expect or anticipate. I'm going to even change it into something that might scare you a little bit. And Moses throws it down. See, now, I don't know what is your security and what is your identity, but God says, throw it down. God says, you have to throw it down if I'm going to do something new. So I don't know if you have a problem with pride or if you have a problem with your identity or your ego, or you have a problem with maybe, God, if I step out, I might be embarrassed, or I just don't know if I can trust. I don't know what your staff is that you need to throw down, but I do know that you need to throw it down. Now, I think it's interesting that the staff that Moses had was probably something that he had in his possession for a long period of time. We don't know, but more than likely it was a tried and true tool that he had used every day for a long period of time. It was probably worn from use, and you know, had the grooves where his hand held it, and it was probably familiar to him, something that gave him comfort, and he woke up and kind of like your favorite walking stick or your favorite implement of tool, your favorite tool that you use every day, your favorite, you name it, that helps you do your work. And this was something that he knew that he was comfortable with. And God says, now throw it down. I'm going to do something new with it. And Moses goes, wait a second. This staff? I know what this staff can do. It's reliable and dependable for the things that it does, but that's it. I mean, why would I ever expect that it's going to become a snake or anything else? And God says, no, throw it down and watch what I'm going to do. Watch what I do. What I want to say to you this morning, and at the end of this 40-day time of prayer and fasting, God wants us to throw down our identity and throw down our security and throw down that thing that we've been comfortable with, throw down that routine, throw down that sin that we've been struggling with, that we've been unwilling to give up, throw down that relationship that we know we're supposed to cut off and we've been holding on to, that God's been telling us is no good for us. Throw down the old behavior patterns and the old habits, the old ways of thinking, the old ways of doing things. We've got to throw it down this morning and believe that God can do something new. He can take it and he can make it into something unexpected. One last verse and we'll close with this. In 1 Samuel, there's a story of Jonathan, and Jonathan is he's with his armor bearer, and they are in a war. The Israelite people are in a war against the Philistines, and Jonathan says to his armor bearer, because there's not much that's happening, and he's sort of a young buck type of a guy that wants to go out and do something for his kingdom, for Israel. And so he says to his armor bearer, he says, and let me just read this to you in verse 6. He says to his armor bearer, come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised fellows, the Philistines. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. Now, Jonathan just kind of does something a little bit out of the ordinary. And he says, you know what? Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Perhaps. Let's go over there and let's see if God would do something. And so he heads over with his armor bearer. His armor bearer says, sure, man, let's go do it. Let's see what's going to happen. And so they head over and the Philistines see them and they say, hey, yeah, here comes the Hebrews coming out of their rocks, out of their little hiding places. And they say, yeah, come on up to us. We'll give you something to think about. And so they actually, Jonathan and his armor bearer, climb up this hill, very, very unstrategic military decision. And yet they climb up on the top of the hill, and it says that they slew about 20 Philistines in about a half an acre of territory. Because perhaps, Jonathan said, the Lord will do something on our behalf. Perhaps. Now see, Jonathan made a decision. He was throwing down his staff at that moment. He was saying, you know what, God, I don't know what you can do. I don't know what I can do, but I know what you can do. I don't know, Lord, if everything that I anticipate or expect is going to happen, but perhaps. What Jonathan is saying, you know, I know that you're the God of Israel. I know you're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I know you're the God of all the universe, and I know that you can defeat every Philistine that there is. Perhaps, Lord, you'll show up on my behalf today. And he throws down his staff, and what happens? A great defeat happens. And God steps out on the scene. But if Jonathan had never said perhaps, it would never have happened. And we wouldn't be reading about it today. And what God is looking for this morning is people that will say perhaps. Perhaps God will act on my behalf. Perhaps I can break through in this area that I've been standing for. Now, it wouldn't be a big thing for God. I mean, the truth is we've been standing for 40 days. And what does the Bible say? Resist the devil and he will flee. We've been resisting for 40 days. Some with great success, some maybe not. But we've been resisting corporately for 40 days, and little faith combined with others' faith equals great faith. And seeing God wants to say today, he's ready and prepared. He's willing for you to break through. Remember Jesus in the wilderness, he resists for 40 days, and then at the end of 40 days, the devil leaves him. The devil leaves him. Some of you have been standing for breakthrough and you haven't seen it yet. And God wants today for you to see breakthrough this morning. He is here saying, are you going to throw down your staff? Will you say perhaps? Will you say perhaps? And if you are, I think God will meet us. Would you stand this morning as we come to a close? And I'm just looking for people today that will throw down their staff. And we don't have a lot of time. We're at the conclusion, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time. But I'm just going to say, if you want to throw down your staff today, and that could be just a decision that you're making internally. You're just saying, Lord, I'm ready and willing to throw down that thing I've been holding on to. I'm ready and willing to throw down my pride. I'm ready and willing to throw down my expectations. I know that you're asking me to throw down this routine. I know you're asking me to throw down this belief system that I have. I know that you're asking me to let go of this thing. And so, God, I'm going to throw it down today. If that's you this morning, I just want you to come forward as just a sign of saying, Lord, I'm going to throw it down this morning. So quickly, very quickly, just come. Say, Lord, perhaps you'll do something today if we make a decision. Perhaps, God, if I stand out. Sure, Lord, I'm gonna risk something. I'm going to throw down the staff. I'm not sure what you're going to do with it. I don't know if it's going to turn into a snake or something else. But God, I'm going to throw it down because I believe that you're big enough to do what you want to do. So throw it down this morning. And as you're coming up this morning, I just encourage you, just raise your hands this morning as a sign that you're saying to God, Lord, I'm going to be a wind surfer today. Lord, we're asking for your wind to blow this morning, and we're standing and believing that at the end of 40 days, the devil will flee and that victory will be had. We're standing and believing at the end of 40 days that sickness has to go. We're believing at the end of 40 days that victory is going to come in. We're believing at the end of 40 days that panic and fear have to go in Jesus' name, that worry is not going to control us anymore. We're believing that our marriage can be anew, that God can breathe once again, something fresh and something new. We're not going to stand in the old. We're not going to give in to that system that says the routine is where it's at. We're believing, Lord, that you're going to breathe fresh anew upon us. And so, Lord, we declare that this morning, and just declare with your mouth as you hear this morning, declare, Lord, we believe that you can do it, God. We throw down our staff this morning, and God, I pray that you would blow your fresh wind into our sails. God, I ask you to move in a fresh way upon everyone that's here this morning. Oh, God, for every staff that's being thrown down today, I pray that you would establish that in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, that you would step in this morning into their lives and you would break through into new areas and new territories. We believe, God, that you're God that meets us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, oh God. We praise you. Now let's just praise him this morning. Thank you, God. Just remember, resist the devil and he will flee. Resist and he will flee. See, the power is in resistance. The power is not in the routine. The power is in not magic words. The power is in resistance. And the Lord does the work. God bless you. Go with God. Love you guys.